Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Bill Simmons, and I feel really, really grateful to be back here on ESPN.
It's Tony Kornheiser back. Did something happen? Did I miss something?
You did.
Were you gone for a while?
I was gone for a while.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this today when I knew that you were going to be on the show. And I was hoping to be able to say that I can't even believe you're here. This is so great. It's the longest odds I could ever imagine that you'd be doing the show with me again.
Well, I turned 50 next week. They told me they wanted the show to get younger.
Really? 50?
Yeah.
The sad commentary is that 65 makes the show younger. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Will Bond is busy hugging Eddie Pinheiro. So I'm joined by our great friend from The Ringer, Mr. Bill Simmons. And we begin today with 37-year-old Ben Roethlisberger needing elbow surgery that will keep him out for the rest of this season. That means the Pittsburgh Steelers have lost Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell in an instant. Oof. Bill, I want to know your thoughts on the Steelers in the near term. But first and foremost, is it over for Big Ben?
I feel like it's over, right? He's 38.
Think about how many, back at 38.
Yeah, how many hits he's taking. We don't know what's wrong with the elbow. Like, if it was a pitcher, I feel like we would think Tommy John, ulnar nerve, all these things. It's mysterious. I think he's going to leave a complicated legacy, though. I was thinking about this century's quarterbacks, Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rivers, all these guys, Favre, these guys that became these characters, beloved. I don't feel like Roethlisberger was ever beloved. There were a lot of reasons for that we don't need to go into.
But
never a beloved QB, right?
Two Super Bowl wins and a third Super Bowl appearance. You talked about being hit. He's been hit, I think, the third most sacks in history. I'm not ready to say he's done. That puts you in the same side as Deion Sanders, who out of nowhere last week said he's not going to make the end of the season.
He must have known something.
I don't know that you know that you have an elbow injury, but I mean, my personal experience with Joe Theismann is such that he was really, really upset that he could never come back from that Lawrence Taylor hit. I don't think guys want to go out this way. Even if you come back and you feel, I can't play anymore, but you play a few games, to be put out by an injury and then old age. And I think it depends on Mason Rudolph. Like, let's say he's pretty good.
Think about how scary that is.
Well, let's say he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are pretty good. Makes it easier to come back at 38. If the Steelers are terrible, maybe you don't want to come back.
Well, when you said my personal experience with Joe Theismann, I got excited for a second. I didn't know where that was going. Can I just read you the Steelers' decade?
Sure.
Because this is sad. Lost the Super Bowl in 2010. They've missed the playoffs four times. They lost playoff games to Blake Bortles, washed up Peyton Manning, and Tim Tebow. They lost a playoff game to Tim Tebow. They've been owned by the Patriots. The Ryan Shazier thing happened. They lost Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. And now Brown's on their arch rival. The decade's over, and now they're irrelevant without a quarterback.
Do you think that, but you don't think Ben Roethlisberger will come back?
I don't.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
We'll have to bet on this.
Okay.
You'll get better odds than me being on PTI again.
Oh, those are the longest odds in history.
Tony, New Orleans lost to the Rams partially because they got screwed by a terrible call. In other words, it was just like every big Saints game. But this defeat was more painful. Drew Brees tore ligaments in the thumb on his throwing hand. One report has him out 6 weeks. Another report has him getting a second opinion. Tony, are the Saints done if Brees is out for 6 weeks?
No. And they are. Look, wild card teams win the Super Bowl. The Giants did it twice. You just have to get in the tournament. And you get in the tournament if you win your division. Oh, yeah, right. With the Patriots, you don't like to hear that. So they're in a terrible division.
Yeah.
Carolina is no good. Tampa Bay is no good. Atlanta, despite what happened last night, is a pretty ordinary team.
Nobody has faith in Atlanta.
So there's a real chance here that if they just win two games, and I don't think Teddy Bridgewater was terrible last night.
He was bad.
But if they win two of the next six, they're probably still alive in their division.
So you think it's like a 9-7, 8-7-1?
Sure, in that division, I think.
Something like that.
I think that's possible in that division, yeah.
Here's what, I didn't like the Saints heading into the season, and now I don't like them even more, but it just had the makings of like the year from hell. You know where that happens with a team where they have the terrible playoff loss? They talk about it all offseason. They claim they're over it, but they're not. Then week one,
they were reminded constantly by bad calls.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a strip sack touchdown
that gets pulled back. So week one, that happens. They get jobbed by a call. Week two, same thing. And it just seems like they have a bad juju around. The other thing with Breeze, you know, he's going to be 41 in January. And you look at the history of 41-year-old QBs.
It's pretty good history lately.
It's Brett Favre, 2009.
There's one guy who's pretty good.
And Tom Brady. Yeah, that's it. But the thing is, Tom Brady's eternal. He's like Edward the Vampire. He's never retiring.
Breeze might be
the end for him, too.
Well, I don't know, because I think I read this earlier today, that in 15 seasons, he's missed only 15 games. That's Cal Ripken. You write him all the time with confidence that he's going to play in this game.
Well, what happened to Cal Ripken? All of a sudden, he was a 240 hitter, and you couldn't wait to get him up at a shortstop.
Ultimately, that's true.
This has to happen.
There's
with this
no
position.
Indication, though, with Breeze. There's no indication that he is on that path
but
right now.
But the thing is, though, if they miss the playoffs this year, now he's 41 next year. This felt like a last chance type of thing to me anyway.
No, I like last year, if I'm not mistaken, he led the league in completion percentage.
But last six games, he was kind of,
Kyler Murray played against, we're doing quarterbacks all day.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray played against Lamar Jackson yesterday. Murray played well. He threw for 349 yards, but no touchdowns. Jackson threw for 272 yards and two touchdowns, and then he ran for 120 more yards. And his team, Baltimore, beat Murray's team, Arizona. Bill, has Jackson convinced you this is his new normal?
Yes.
Or, can I get the or out? Are you waiting to see how he does against
this
Patrick Mahomes?
This is the new
Mahomes?
Normal.
So you don't care how he does against Patrick Mahomes next Sunday?
I've done some good things in 2019. I plan on doing a couple more good things. My highlight of 2019, and how I'll remember this year for the rest of my life, other than turning 50 and doing PTI with you again, I have Lamar Jackson in every fantasy team. I was all in. They built this offense around him. They redid it. Young receivers running around, big running game, everything playing toward his strengths. And he looks great. And I know they were playing crappy teams the first 2 weeks, but it just makes more sense to have Lamar Jackson in a Lamar Jackson offense than a Joe Flacco offense. And now I look at it, he went 32nd in that draft. Jacksonville passed him four spots earlier than that. And you think, like, it's just insane that all the people I know who follow college football were like, what's going on? This guy should be a top 10 pick. And now there's this revisionist stuff where it's like everybody thought he should be a receiver. It's like Bill Polian thought that.
No, not everybody.
Let's stop saying everybody knew he was still a quarterback. They were just, the jury was out and they were wrong.
He's a first round quarterback. He's drafted in the first round. He's a Heisman winning quarterback at Louisville. I'm going to push back a little bit when you say they're bad teams. It is possible by the end of the year.
Yeah.
That Arizona and Miami will be the two worst teams in football. That they will, between them, not even win six games. That's possible.
Six games? I
Matthew
think
Stafford,
be a
for example, Matthew Stafford against Arizona had three touchdowns and no picks. Tom Brady destroyed Miami. So, I mean, these are really bad teams. I like Lamar Jackson a lot. What I particularly like is John Harbaugh saying, you know what? He's our guy. We're going to retool everything on this offense around him, and we're going to say to Joe Flacco, thank you so much, but we have moved on. But I'm not ready yet to say, I think he's got to play against Kansas City.
And we should mention Kyler Murray's been
he's really good.
Fun.
He's really good.
And it does seem like there's a new generation of these young quarterbacks where you have Murray, Jackson, Mahomes, and Tom Brady, who's eternal.
I would put Josh Allen in that group, too, because
he looks
pretty good for Buffalo, and he runs a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that same style.
Well, the 16-0 chatter has already started with my beloved New England Patriots. It's their best all-around team since 2004, but the Antonio Brown saga has overshadowed it. There is a civil suit alleging sexual assault. There's a damaging SI story alleging various indiscretions. Tony, what were your thoughts watching Brown play yesterday?
So I want to use a word here, and I don't want it to be misconstrued because of all of the social commentary about Antonio Brown. I want to be careful with the word. As a football fan, I was excited to see him play, to see Brady go to him right away, to see him catch four passes, to see him get a touchdown pass. I had no idea if he could play. He didn't play in Oakland.
Right.
I had no idea about his feet. I had no idea about anything. So from a strict football sense, that was something for me to see. And I remember sitting here on Friday, and I said, I believe they should play him with this opportunity. They hired him to play him, they should do it, because I felt then, and I feel sitting here today, that may be the only game he plays all year. They're talking to the woman who is his accuser today in the NFL and with the SI story as well. There may be so much that they may say, just get this guy out of here.
Well, this is why it's tough to do these shows, right? Because we're supposed to have an angle on something where we don't know really a lot of the information, what happened, what didn't happen, things like that. I just know I thought they could have waited a week because they didn't know the whole story. The league didn't know the whole story.
I put that on the league. They're gonna think the Patriots had to cancel them. No, I think the league should have stepped
in. But it's not about canceling. Miami's the worst team in the league. They're going to beat Miami by 20 points whether he plays or not. And I don't understand why you're trotting him out there when you don't know what's coming this week. I thought that was a mistake. And, you know, look, the Patriots, there's a million reasons that they've become, I think, America's sports heel, right? They've become the wrestling villain. They've become Ric Flair in the 80s, all that stuff.
And even
they don't
down
need
the
to
road,
give people reasons to root against
down
them.
Down the
and
road,
is
there
reason.
Is the possibility that there will be an examination and this will feel like tampering that he even got to that team. Well, I mean, there's all of that. I mean, and he is, you can defend him in principle and theoretically. It is extraordinarily hard to defend him personally.
They've had Troy Brown, they've had Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, and he's more talented than all those guys. So if this somehow works out, I get it. I just don't think it was worth the risk.
The Jacksonville Jaguars relied on your boy Gardner Minshew II to get them into the end zone yesterday to bring them within 1 point to the Houston Texans with 30 seconds to play. Jaguars coach Doug Marrone decided to go for two and win instead of one and tie. But rather than give Minshew the ball, Marrone had Minshew hand it to Leonard Fournette. Fournette was stopped just short of the goal line. Bill, were you okay going for two and okay giving the ball to Fournette?
Okay for two. Did not like the play. And this actually reminded me of 10 years ago when the advanced metrics movement was really starting to happen in football. Remember that game where the Patriots had fourth and two, I think on their own 28
against
the Colts?
I think you remember every Patriots game in the rest of
us. This is a famous play. Belichick went for it, fourth and two, on his own 28. Didn't get it. The Colts ended up winning. And then it became this whole argument about, well, the advanced metrics said actually their defense wasn't going to stop them. They should be aggressive. It's actually the right move. Put their team, other team on the heels. The problem was the play he ran stunk. It was this little stupid screen pass to Kevin Falk. It didn't work. Same thing with this. I love the aggression. I don't like the little sneaky draw play to your running back, who's kind of a powery running back. You look like a short guy.
Do you not accept the fact that if Fournette had stretched the ball out, he could have crossed the plane? The TV guys in the moment said he's afraid of fumbling. He's fumbled before.
Did you watch the game?
Kept the ball in.
Were you watching
watch
the game? There 10 TVs?
No, I watched the red zone.
Listen, Gardner Minshew was heating
great.
Up.
He looked great.
My opinion is like, let the chef cook. Gardner was cooking. Keep him in the kitchen. Like, give him the ingredients. Let him go. He had all the momentum. Bill O'Brien had to call timeout to, like, let his defense regroup at that point.
That's right.
It's like, let the hot quarterback, like, finish this off. I hated the play.
Can I go to the other two-point situation
yeah.
in Denver when Fangio calls for 2 points to win at home
yeah.
at that point, right? And there is a delay of game, which I thought might have been engineered by the players on the field. Then they line up
they
to kick the extra
it.
Point. They miss it, but there's an offsides there, so they go back for two. They get the two. I find it impossible to believe. We'll talk about the Bears later that they lost that game, but two tremendously exciting circumstances.
I like that teams are now starting to finally realize do the thing that makes the fans of the other team scared.
Two,
and if
go
I'm up one and somebody's going for two,
for
I'm
two.
Having a heart attack if I'm the defense.
Let's take a break, but coming up, the Bears won, but did they deserve to?
And how should Vikings fans feel about the team's commitment to Kirk Cousins? Here's a hint. Not good.
Are you going to ask me if somebody watched him play for a bunch of years in Washington?
You tried to tell everybody. Nobody listens to you.
I did. Nobody ever listens.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by AT&T. More for your thing. That's our thing.
Mail time, where we answer your email.
Oh.
Which seemed pretty cutting edge when we started in 2001. Let me see what's first here. Are you ready? Did the Bears deserve that win?
I think neither team deserved the win. That would have been actually the perfect tie. But I look at what happened with Denver. Flacco was so bad in that game. Throws the pick on the goal line, the whole thing, the 2 point. As you said earlier, it didn't even seem like they really wanted to go for it. They stumble into it. And then the Bears, they get the dumbest roughing the passer penalty I think
terrible.
I've seen since Sugar Bear Hamilton in 1975.
It was terrible.
Followed by this 9 seconds that lasted for 13 seconds somehow.
They put a second. Yeah, they put
he's
a second.
Running around. He's fighting. The guy falls down. They immediately stop the clock. How do they measure time in the NFL?
So you feel it's unsatisfying on every level. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hated the game. I was so glad I didn't gamble on it. I felt like I would have had whatever side lost.
So Wilbon is the greatest Bears fan in the world.
Right.
He calls me last night. We dissect the game. He can't believe that the Bears won the game. He can't believe the roughing the passer call. He can't believe they put a second back.
He wanted
but they found
it.
A kicker. I mean, Pinero was good from 53. They found
but the irony is, they found a kicker, but they still have Mitch Trubisky. 22.1 QBR. The Mendoza line is 30. I don't even understand QBR.
You read that to me.
I'll read this to you.
Please.
Should the Vikings be more upset about the touchdown New York took away or the terrible interception Kirk Cousins threw?
It's not the touchdown because that was in the second quarter and there's a lot more
right.
football to be played. And if you believe that calls should be right, you have to concede that at times the headquarters in New York are that's going to happen. It's the interception. There's about 5 minutes to play and Kirk Cousins throws it and it's intercepted. I watched this for years in Washington.
I love when you do the I watched this for years in Washington with all these guys.
Yeah, well, he had very good statistics, but they didn't win enough games. He's terrible in the red zone. He's absolutely terrible in the red zone. I felt when the Redskins got Alex Smith, it turns out he can't play because he's got a broken leg, but I felt they were getting a better quarterback.
So Cousins said afterwards, quote, it's uncharacteristic of me to throw that terrible putt. I disagree. I think it was completely characteristic. His uncatchable balls in week two. Cam Newton, 34% uncatchable balls in week two. Trubisky, 27.8. Kirk Cousins, 27. That means over one out of every four footballs is completely uncatchable.
Uncatchable.
Yeah. Sorry.
Is it over for Adam Vinatieri?
Oh, this one makes me sad. You know, I think he's the Robert Horry of field goal kickers, where if I said to you, like, remember that unbelievable Adam Vinatieri field goal kick? You'd be like, which one? Because he's had so many. He made the greatest one of all time. He made game-ending kicks in two Super Bowls. You go on down the line. He's been playing since we've had the internet. He's been playing basically since we've had fantasy football. I was playing a little earlier, but, you know, he's been going since 1996. It's kind of a bummer. Like, he cost them that first Chargers game. Second game, yesterday, he almost cost them. It's unfortunately time to go.
Now, Frank Reich says he's our kicker. He's one of our leaders, and he's our kicker. And eventually, he's going to be in Canton, and some of this will be forgotten. I liken this at some point, and I wish him the best, and I'm sure you do, too, because of his history with the Patriots.
Three Super Bowls.
Right? So, but it's like to me, it's like a closer. When a closer is unable to close, and I have watched this in Washington,
yeah.
they lose the job. You've got to bring in another person. This is not about how old he is. It's not about his service. It's not about who he was. Who he is right now is not a good enough kicker, I don't believe, to be in the NFL. And I know he's going to Canton. I know he's great.
The thing is, nobody's going to remember how it ends. Like, you look at Shaq the last couple years.
Yeah,
he's just bouncing around like an actor in bad movies.
Right.
But everybody remembers 2001 Shaq. I think Vinatieri is the greatest kicker of all time.
No,
that's what we'll remember.
Let's take one last break, but still to come, could the Giants really stick with Eli Manning?
And what happens if the Browns do not bounce back tonight against the terrible Jets? That won't be good.
I don't want this to be about age with Vinatieri. He's just not good enough right now.
Well, he's my age. It kind of is about age.
He's your age?
He's almost, yeah.
He's going to be 50?
Soon.
Wow, 50 looks so great in my rearview mirror.
I know.
So... At the time, people had the 85th birthday Elgin Baylor, the 6'5" forward with the Lakers, certainly one of the 50 best players to ever play in the NBA.
15.
When he retired in the early 70s, he was one of the 10 best players to ever play the game. It is possible that Elgin Baylor and Jerry West are the two greatest teammates of all time.
Shaq Kobe.
Baylor was the first great up-in-the-air guy leading to Connie Hawkins, Julius Erving, David Thompson, Michael Jordan.
He was in the Army Reserves and still averaged 38-19, traveling back and forth on connecting flights. Elgin Baylor, amazing.
Happy anniversary, Ryan Fitzpatrick, on this day last year. Yes, just last year with Tampa Bay, Fitzpatrick became the first quarterback in NFL history to pass for at least 400 yards and four touchdowns in each of the first two games of a season. What a difference a year makes.
Happy
in his first two games for the Dolphins this year, he's produced one touchdown and four picks. The Dolphins are 0-2, having been outscored 102-10. Yet amazingly, Fitzpatrick will remain Miami's starting quarterback.
If you're trying to get the number one overall pick, he's your guy.
Happy trails, Mike Trout. The best player in baseball has seen his season come to an end because of surgery on his right foot. Until this, Trout was being conceded the MVP in the American League because of 45 homers, 104 RBI, and an OPS over 1,000. Maybe if playoff-bound Nelson Cruz or Alex Bregman got super hot in the last few weeks, they'd get a sniff, but I think that's doubtful.
Well, I mean, Trout has to get it. How would the Angels have won 73 games without him?
Are you not
sad? They wouldn't have gone 73-89 if he wasn't there.
I understand. Are you not sad that he never gets to play in October, that it just doesn't work out?
I'm more sad that I don't have baseball conversations in September anymore. It's like playoff baseball and the looming pennant and all that. It's all like football, 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 football. I don't have baseball conversations.
Really?
20 years ago, it was
come
like,
to my
was
house,
we used
watch
the
Nats and text
about
back
Sean
and
Doolittle.
Forth with Chuck Todd, and you'll have these conversations.
Well, there you go.
No errors today. We go to the big finish.
Yeah.
The Niners are 2-0, but lost left tackle Joe Staley with a broken fibula. Big loss.
Yeah, I hate losing a left tackle. MJ is selling a large chunk of the Hornets to two hedge fund managers. Big deal?
Well, he's retaining a controlling interest. I was going to go in this, but the restaurant went out. I just didn't have enough money. Pat Shurmur would not commit to Eli Manning being the Giants' week three starter. Should he do that?
It's time for the Daniel Jones era. I'm
right
ready.
Now?
I'm ready.
We'll do it right
Let's
now.
Do it. Let's okay. make this happen. Your favorite player, Josh Norman of the Redskins, says there are good reporters and spoiled rotten apples that come from hell. Agree?
You know, when the Redskins got Josh Norman, I thought it was a great move. Now, I think he should stick to trying to guard the person who seems to be in front of him, taking the ball into the end zone on a regular basis.
How many Bears fans at the Redskins Monday Night Football game next week?
60%.
Last
one, Browns and Jets tonight. Who you got?
I think the Browns. If they don't win this,
look in the middle.
This is the most pathetic thing. The Browns had so much.